The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Watson wide open over the middle is Fells. Breakdown defensively, and Fells makes him pay. Touchdown, Houston. A 44-yard strike by Watson to Fells, and that was too easy for Houston. Watson has time over the middle, and it is picked off. Sidney Jones has it, and Jacksonville's getting the ball right back. Watson has all day, looking deep for Will Fuller, and it's juggled and picked off. Intercepted by Jared Wilson. Down the sideline, Wilson at midfield, still going. Wilson at the 30, trying to cut it back the other way, and it's Deshaun Watson who makes the tackle. Watson fires, and it's caught, and then up on his feet, and it is Will Fuller for a touchdown. Nobody touched him. A 19-yard score, and Houston increases its lead.
Are they saying, Romeo, Romeo, what art thou doing, Romeo?
Ready, set.
Doubtful, but it works. Cooks, and he can run all the way to the house. He will! Now they're saying it, James.
Oh, yeah!
28-yard touchdown, and for Cooks, his first as a member of the Texans.
I think maybe my personality, you know, I do smile some. I can joke with them a little bit. I think that in the change, we were able to win the game, and I think that that helped. If we had lost the game, it'd be a different story.
Great. We had a lot of fun today. We had a lot of fun, you know, offense, defense, special teams, everybody pitching in. Whenever something went wrong, the other group was ready to step up and make a play to make it right. Nobody hung their heads. Everybody was ready to roll. We had great energy. I thought the fans were great. A great vibe from fans, and it was just a lot of fun. And for Romeo, seeing his dance moves in the locker room after the game were a real treat. So that was enjoyable.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yes, we do, and it's a Monday, so there's plenty to talk about. Let's just jump right in. It's the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. You want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on Twitch, just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can watch the show and hear what goes on the breaks. Sometimes it's wonderful stuff, sometimes it's absolutely nothing. And it's a Monday. Boy, what a big weekend. Plenty to get to. And your Astros not doing so well today after losing game one, already down 3-0. So, good
luck
with that.
Oh, there's another one. Boy, Jose and Yuli not on the same page today. That one looked more on Jose than you. Although, I guess it's like I always tell my son, because my son primarily plays first base. I always tell him, look, dude, you're not going to get a lot of, like if a ball bounces three times and you scoop it, you were supposed to scoop it. If the ball's right to you and you catch it, you were supposed to catch it.
Right.
And if the ball skips three times and you scoop it, it's a attaboy shortstop. What a great throw. And that's just the way it works as a first baseman. I don't know. Is that E4? It should be E4, but Yuli's got to make that play. I don't know if they may say here in a minute if they give that error to Yuli or Jose, but that should be an E4, but it's kind of on Yuli too to make that play. It's not a play that it would be extraordinary for Yuli to make.
Right.
So, but that's what happened last time was the Astros do that, and the next guy comes up and hits a three-run bomb when the inning should have been over. So that's all the runs on the board came after an error almost exactly like that. What do they call it? Do you know if they called it E4 or E3?
I haven't seen anything announced yet.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'll be an E4, but that's bonehead stuff. The Astros don't look sharp. They don't look like their heads are in this thing.
But yeah. I made the argument that with the first one, Yuli's toe was still on the bag when he actually picked it up. That was the coaching staff for not challenging and asking them to look at it again, because his toe was still touching the bag when he scooped it up when it was rolling around and he grabbed it. His toe was still on the bag and then he came off. So that was something that they should have actually argued against. And it probably would have saved him
three runs, but often you don't, when you think, okay, well, it's just it's one base runner. You don't always think, well, am I going to use my one challenge of the game here? I mean, it's a tough call. And look what's happening. I mean, this is why you cannot make errors if you want to win. And God, McCullers always, Josh is right. McCullers does look out there every time, no matter where the ball goes. He's like, what the hell? He can't believe that guy got a hit. I can't believe it. But this team is not where they should be right now. It's unfortunate. And their bats are in the same position. They now, mind you, we said this. Sure. It's awesome beating the hell out of the Twins and the A's. This Rays pitching staff is a whole different beast, and so far, it certainly is.
And you get a two-run game out of Framber yesterday. You're supposed to win that.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then you're going to really struggle in this series because you're not going to get too many pitching performances like that against a really good staff. And right now, not looking good. I mean, going down 2-0 is not the end of the world, but it's –
it's close to it.
You can see the edge of it from here. That's for sure.
It's close to it. You can start to get over there and spit off the edge.
Yeah.
Not the start the Astros were hoping for, but I guess what you can say is, listen, this lineup can explode at any time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not over by any stretch.
But it's easier to explode against the A's pitching staff than it is against the Rays. But that's, you knew the competition was going to get tougher the further you went, so they need to raise their game a little bit. So,
well, you know who doesn't need to raise their game? The Houston Texans, because I've got news for you, Fred. It's a new season, and they're 1-0. If the season started yesterday, the Texans would be in first place. How about that?
Yeah.
They would be a full game. I mean, did the Jags win yesterday? No. Did the Colts win yesterday? No.
Yeah, thanks, Colts.
Are the Titans going to play on Tuesday? Maybe. If they do play, they're going to lose because everybody on the team has coronavirus. The Texans are obviously the class of the AFC South starting yesterday, and I think we should treat things as such going forward.
And I think Romeo Crennel, oldest coach to win a game. I bet you didn't hear that 10 times yesterday.
Hadn't heard.
Maybe this is it. Maybe he's Bill Belichick now.
I guess I always to me, guys like Marv Levy and Bill Parcells, like those guys, Tom Coughlin, those guys seem so much older than Romeo.
Yeah, I thought Marv Levy would have been older, but then when he died, he wasn't that as old as you would have thought.
Joe Gibbs. Didn't Joe Gibbs seem like he was 100 the whole time he was coaching?
Well, especially when he came back like 10 years later.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, how is Romeo the oldest? But Romeo looks good. Looks good, man. That's the... He's got something going for him that's keeping him young, I guess. Good, God bless him.
Yeah, I thought that they obviously played their best game of the season. Now again, this is Astros versus A's.
This was not only is it a pretty rough Jags team. It's also a Jags team that's missing. You could argue three of their best players.
They're three best players on defense, and then they get another guy ejected.
Yeah.
So they got a bunch of homeless guys playing back there. But, that's who you line up against. And I thought they did a good job defensively because Jacksonville's offense hasn't been garbage. And after that first few plays, they shut down the running game and did a good job with that. I don't want to say it's a coincidence, but maybe Bernard McKinney not being in the lineup was a positive.
Could be.
I'm just throwing that out there. But on the whole, I thought they got their first turnover of the season, although I wasn't going to count that one. Because that fourth down play.
That's a fourth down.
Yeah, that, I mean, that doesn't count because they weren't.
If they tackle him, it's a turnover on down. They're not, it's not a turnover.
And there was no way after Robinson messed up the play at the beginning, there was no way in hell he was converting that.
Also, they didn't force that. That
right,
was just
right.
a dude, you know, mishandling the ball and dropping it on the ground on fourth down. So I'll say this. Obviously, the guy who everyone will talk about is Deshaun, even though he did throw a couple picks. I think the key to success was the running game and the fact that they were able to run the ball, not only with Deshaun, who had a couple runs, which we've been saying, where are these runs? When's he going to break out and grab some of these yards? Two runs, both over 10 yards. But David Johnson had his best game since week one, and that was much needed. So, pretty complete performance for the Texans. It is, I think it's probably too early to get excited because this is a really bad Jags team. I mean, and it's a shell of even the worst of the Jags or the best of the Jags team. And so,
you know me, I like to find positives in losses and negatives in wins. I got a few negatives.
I'll give you one of the other big positives because I was talking about the way they ran the ball, the way they held Jacksonville.
Yeah,
on the run.
That's that gets back to maybe Bernard McKinney not being in there was a positive
because Minshew had a pretty good day.
Yeah, but you know what? You'll take that. You gave up 300 yards, but he had to put it up 48 times to do it. So
they could not get anything going on the ground. So that's the first time this year that's happened.
Yep.
They didn't just roll over and get curb stomped by the opposing running game. So.
Yeah, I got.
Can they keep that momentum going? Is the question, and how much of it's accredited to no Bill O'Brien? How much of it is accredited to the Jags are awful? How much is accredited to the Texans have really found something, or we knew they were going to get better all along? Like, there's a lot of things that could play into why they played so much better yesterday.
I got theories on just about every single one of those.
All right,
so fortunately, we got lots to go. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, let me tell you about my good friends over at Texas Star Grill Shop. If you are in the market for a new grill, Texas Star Grill Shop is the place to go. And you may say to yourself, man, and this is exactly what I said, I know I need a grill. I don't know exactly what kind of grill is going to fit me. So I asked the people there, the experts there at Texas Star Grill Shop, and they pointed me in the right direction. And they'll ask you, hey, how often do you cook? How do you like to cook on wood? Do you like to cook on charcoal? Do you like to cook with gas? What do you like to do? And do you spend more time smoking or grilling? Whatever it is, they've got something for you. They've got all the great brands. Pits and Spits, made right here in Houston. Traeger. They've got Napoleon. They've got Memphis. They've got the Kamado Joes that are very popular this year. They've been sold out for a good chunk of the year, but guess what? They just got some, so you can get some now with the fall sale going on right now. Free delivery and assembly. You got to stop by and see the best in grilling. Only at Texas Star Grill Shop, Houston, Katy, and Spring, and always open online at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, you want to listen to the Astros, flip over to 92.5. You can do that. We don't mind. But a couple other things that I wanted to get to from that game.
The error was on Altuve, by the way.
Okay.
Who had zero throwing errors in the regular season. Two today.
Mm.
That's not great.
That's not ideal.
Yeah.
In a playoff series. But,
no, you don't. It's not what you go in looking for.
No. Deshaun's numbers look pretty good. Still just two throws you can't make. One was a bad throw. One was a bad decision. The interception right after... that, of course, Jacksonville missed the field goal, but that was just a poor pass. And those are the kind of things he's got to get out of his game. The other one to Will Fuller, that's just a bad decision. I mean, Will Fuller cannot make that play in double coverage.
That's not DeAndre Hopkins.
No, it's not. He's not the guy who's going to go up and get that football. And so whenever you, and I have no problem with you taking a shot downfield, but the only percent chance of that working is if you get an interference call. Because he can't make that play in double coverage. It's just impossible. So I didn't like that decision at all. For the most part, though, I thought the offense didn't look really different other than the tempo was better. But there's two guys who have actually played well all year. And, you know, it kind of gets lost because you only notice them when they don't. But Laramie Tunsil's played very well for this team. Yes. And so is Bradley Roby. And, you know, corners are going to get beat sometimes. He had the holding call yesterday. But coming in, DJ Chark was playing very well, and you didn't hear his name until he got hurt. And that's because Roby was shadowing him the whole way. So I want to give those two guys credit because, and then Brandon Cooks had a big day yesterday, finally, which also, if you told me at halftime he was going to have that kind of day, I would have laughed because they just weren't on the same page. I mean, Watson was missing him. It looked a lot like last week. I don't know if the routes were a little off or the throws or what, but boy, they got it figured out. And he had a nice day. And he's going to have those kind of days because, you know, some of these other weapons ain't doing much. Will Fuller, I'm talking to you. I know Fuller had the touchdown. But, again, for a guy who you thought could be a number one receiver, I want to note it for the record, no one on this show thought that.
No. And the game felt like it did. The whole first half felt like it was a close game. And it was, actually. And the Jags did everything they could to not be better. I mean, missing the field goal.
Two field goals. Yeah, how is an NFL kicker short on a 49-yard field goal?
I don't know. But, I mean, you missed the first one, and the football gods, I mean, that's the most Texans thing that could have happened was the very first play after the missed field goal is an interception.
Right.
And it's like, oh, my God, you gave them another chance, and they can't make that. It's like, are you guys for real?
The only thing I could think is, Hauschka must have been hurt because nobody's ever short on a 49-yard field goal like that.
Hauschka's, I don't think he's what he used to be.
Well, it's clear, but 49 yards.
Yeah.
And, you know, that affected some things later. Obviously, they went for it on that 4th-and-1 with just hearing Doug Marrone defend that. You know, I love Doug Marrone. I want him to stay employed because he's my doppelganger. But hearing him defend that sounded like Bill O'Brien defending a bad play. Well, we practiced it all week. And it was great in practice, and we thought it was going to work. And if we'd run something else and it hadn't worked, then, you know, it's like that was the play for that situation. And maybe it was, except your running back acted like he was going to run forward, and then he basically ran right into the defense. I'm not quite sure what the whole point of that play was. But so Jacksonville shooting themselves in the foot a little bit. But then in the second half, the Texans really did take control, and they wore him down. Which is, it looked like the end of a Texans game from the first 3 weeks with the Jags playing the role of the Texans. Couldn't stop the run, couldn't do anything on offense, and they did get their first real turnover on that Jacob Martin play, which I thought was a pretty damn good play. I'm not counting the other turnovers, sorry. That also went as a sack.
Yeah.
So they got credit for a sack. But they did get pressure on Minshew a lot and did some different things. I don't think schematically they looked all that different than what they've been. I do think they ran with a little quicker tempo on offense. They were able to run the ball a little bit better. I think some of the, you know, going outside plays helped that some. Otherwise, I just think it was a matter of guys playing better. But for the most part, looked like the same team, just actually played okay.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how you split up the credit. Is it 70% Texans played well, 30% the Jags? Or just that's what they are?
Yeah, I think the Jags are capable of playing better. They didn't yesterday. But them playing at their best, I don't think they beat the Texans. I mean, I think maybe it comes down to a field goal. And it may be like last year where they had a chance to win on the two-point conversion.
I'm still shocked that this team beat the Colts.
That was week one of the COVID year. And we're seeing so much of that impact things. Especially in college football, which I definitely want to get to today. By the way, big win for Aggie.
Yep.
First time to beat a top five opponent under Jimbo. Pretty sure Charlie Morton wouldn't have hit him on purpose.
No, that got away from him real quick.
Yeah. But The Jaguars are just young, especially on defense. They're not horrible on offense. They didn't do much yesterday because they couldn't run the football. It was the Texans in a Jags jersey. That first drive, they got some big runs, and all of a sudden the Texans shut them down. And I think he said, maybe I don't want to speculate too much, but maybe not having slow-ass Bernardrick McKinney in there helped. Because Adams did a good job of hitting gaps and making tackles, and I thought he played well. And
we're going to – I think next week may be the time to do it, assuming the Texans play a football match next week. We like to hope that they will. But if they do, I think through six games, we'll have a better idea, and we'll I want to ask you, like, if we were power rating the NFL, where do you think the Texans fit? Because I think we agree they're better than the Jags. They're better than the Jets.
See, I thought before the season, you know, you could throw them and the Titans and the Colts up in a box and one of them will win the division. I thought they were all on that level.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't. I think there's a step below those guys. Although, the way the Colts looked yesterday, they're very similar. If they can run the football.
But the Colts also lost to a 3-1 football team.
Yeah, that I still don't believe in. So, that's part of it. I'm going to downgrade them because I don't believe in the Browns, but...
I'm starting to come around that the Browns get pressure on the quarterback. They run the ball. They lost their running back. They still run the ball really well. They've got Baker is still going to have bonehead turnovers, but so far they've been able to overcome them, and they're pretty solid in the trenches. I was not a Cleveland buyer coming in, but I'm starting to watch and go, man, maybe these guys are better than I thought they were. And the Colts, you saw what happened yesterday, and we've talked about this before. The key to the Colts being successful is not letting Phillip Rivers have the ball all that much. And yesterday he had the ball way too much,
and
it cost him.
And I think the Titans, it's the same thing. You don't want Ryan Tannehill having the ball too much. You want to be able to run it. And I'm interested to see what happens next week, especially if they do get that game in tomorrow night. Titans going to have to come back and play Sunday?
Yeah.
After a Tuesday night game?
Yep.
That's asking a lot, man, I think.
Especially for a team that's all corona.
All corona'd up, and will have had to play probably a very physical game against Buffalo.
But let's also remember they've also had a bye week.
Yeah. Well, going into this, but you got to – that's still a quick turnaround. It's not as bad as a Sunday, Thursday, but
– it's not ideal, though.
No. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. One of the things we were talking about on the Twitch was, you know, I expected a better effort out of this team. And we got it because sometimes a coaching change will do that, but sometimes it's just fool's gold too. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to play like this all season. If they are, then I think they still have a chance to salvage one of the cheap ass playoff spots. But if I were a betting man, I would bet against it. And, I also will just say, and I don't think you guys are going to like me for this, but I don't think Deshaun Watson did anything special yesterday.
He didn't. I mean, if you look at the stats at the end of the game, you go, man, Deshaun had a game. And compared to the other games he's played this year, yeah, he had a game. Honestly, probably the best number for him was the fact that he only got sacked once yesterday.
Yep.
And that's been plaguing this team. He got the ball out faster yesterday. Now, mind you, as we mentioned, the Jags were without their three best defensive players, including one of the best young pass rushers in the game. So he had time that he hasn't had in other games.
Right.
So the game was probably moving a little slower for him. And he took advantage of that, which you expect him to do. Because as much criticism as I've given to Deshaun this season, it's not like I suddenly don't think he's any good. I think he's a good player, and good players in ideal circumstances should look really good.
Yeah.
Now, that's what separates him from being an elite player, because elite players look good even when the circumstances aren't all that great. And but I still think Deshaun's a good player, and yesterday was an ideal set of circumstances, and he played the ideal game given what was presented to him. But besides a couple throws that you mentioned earlier, and they one of them, like you said, really awful throw, and one just I think he forgot that DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play for his team anymore, and you can't just throw it up in the air and hope that something good happens.
Yeah, not to Will Fuller. I mean, you don't have that kind of receiver on the roster right now. Care to guess what his QBR was for yesterday? Remember, I view 85 as an elite game. It was his highest of the season, I'll tell you that.
I would say it's probably between 75 and 80.
78.2. Okay. Yeah. Which is his best of the year. The only other one close was Pittsburgh, where he had a 77.5. The rest have all been below average.
What was his passer rating? It was like over 105.
110. Huh? Point, 110. No,
109.1. 109.
Yeah.
All right.
So
that's his best of the season, too, right?
Actually, no. This is why passer rating is ridiculous. Because he had a 110.7 against Minnesota and Pittsburgh.
Oh, jeez.
And his QBR for the Minnesota game was 37.1.
Wow.
So, but overall, I mean, that's a really good game. And that's a star level, but not elite. But again, one game and against a team you're supposed to beat. If you're even a 500 type team, you're supposed to beat the Jaguars at home. And it did feel like that game was closer to me.
Well, I mean, hell, they cut it to 6 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it was like, uh-oh, is this going to happen? But then the Texans went right down and scored. And the Texans were the better team yesterday. I mean, just you watch these two teams on the field together, and it's like, oh. I mean, and granted, like I said, the Jags are missing some key bodies. And if in 2 weeks they're healthier, maybe it's a game. Or 3 weeks, I guess. But yesterday, it wasn't a fair matchup. As bad as the Texans have looked so far, they were going up against a one-legged man.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to the Jaguars for keeping it close, despite the fact that their kicker couldn't do anything. And you know, having that many guys out, it's hard to have that kind of depth on defense, especially when you're not a very good team. So, I'm not as encouraged by it as I think a lot of people are.
Well, 1-4. So now 11 games left. What are they going to finish? What's your guess? How many wins?
I don't know. I mean, I need a couple more weeks to judge them. Because is it a different team now? Or is it just the same group that had one good game because they were fired up?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question. You know, the next couple games on their schedule are going to clearly be tougher. Really, that may have been the easiest game left on their schedule.
Maybe.
Home against the Bengals is probably up there with it. But those are the two games that were on your schedule that you said, okay, this should be a win. And the Texans went out and said, you know what, we're going to take this. You've got home and home with Titans to come. Packers at home, that's not a game you're expected to win, even at home. At the Jags, any road game, I don't think the Texans are good enough that we should say they're expected to win on the road anywhere, right?
Yeah, although it's
a winnable game, certainly.
Yeah.
But it, if they lost at Jacksonville, I wouldn't go, oh, man, I can't believe it. Because this is the kind of team.
Honestly, there's nobody left on their schedule if they lost to. I wouldn't say, oh, I can't believe they lost that game. But I think they're capable of winning more than I just don't know what they are. Yesterday was, you know, I don't know how much it was just the opponent. They finally got somebody that they were they were bigger and better than. But
here's what I will say. The Texans are very lucky that the schedule came out the way that it did this year. Because having those teams, Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, Vikings, and we'll get to the Vikings game from last night, which I think the Vikings are turning back into a good football team.
They had every chance to win that game, too.
And losing to Seattle, I mean, at Seattle by 1 point, I ain't mad at them. What I will say is having those four games to front load your schedule, that's what got Bill O'Brien fired. If you had Jags, Bengals, Lions, Titans to open the season, you're probably winning two or three of those, and you're still in Bill O'Brien hell.
Right.
And who knows what it would take at that point to get out of this.
Yeah.
Like, once you win a couple games, it's hard. It's harder and harder to justify firing the guy because you got to pay him a whole lot of money. So I think that having the start to the season that they had may end up being the best thing that happened to this team, which sounds crazy. But if it took going 0-4 to start this, and let's face it, preseason, they weren't favored over any of those four teams.
Right.
Those four teams were all looked at as better teams than the Texans. But if that's what it took to get Bill O'Brien out of there and maybe reset what this team is doing, then so be it.
And McLamont says, Fred, with you saying Deshaun didn't look really all that different kind of satisfies your notion that if he looks better with a new coach and appears to have been dogging it, then that's – I don't know what that means. But I think what you're trying to say is if – because they look like they quit against the Vikings. And I said that. If you suddenly come out and play hard just to get rid of your coach, then you're a bunch of little bitches. I think they played hard. I don't know how much of it was they were playing an inferior opponent or how much of it was they were dogging it before. And there were some players that were dogging it. And I defy you guys to go look at that last game especially and not give me five guys that were not giving maximum effort. But you know what? I don't respect that, and I still don't respect that. But if it got rid of Bill O'Brien, great. That makes you all happy. Fantastic. But I'm talking about play calling didn't look much different to me. I think the scheme on defense didn't look that much different. Maybe a little more pressure, but for the most part, the guys executed better. And if that's effort related, then that's pretty sad. But I think the one key thing on defense that I noticed for sure was Terrell Adams being in instead of Bernhardrick McKinney, because he was all over the field. He was extremely quick to the hole, led the team in tackles. So, you know, one guy doesn't make that big a difference, but it sure did yesterday.
Yeah. And McKinney's done for the year. So,
no, is he? Okay.
Well, yeah, he's out for the season.
Well, then he's probably done as a Texan
because he's undergoing shoulder surgery.
You're not paying him next year.
I wouldn't imagine so.
Man, it's nice to know that you got a guy right here that's on a cheap deal. That's you're going to need some of those, AJ, moving forward, because you know, that's how you're going to be able to rebuild your roster,
yeah,
which is going to be the second half of this. And did you see they hired a search firm?
Yeah.
Same guy that got him Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Good luck.
Maybe it's like they had a money back guarantee or something. They're just like, hey, I know we screwed you on that last one. We're going to make it right. We're not going to charge you anything extra.
20% off.
Yeah. It's buy one, get one. We're going to find you. Listen, how about this? We'll find you a new GM. And then we'll find you the coach for free. Deal? Deal.
Okay, right. We got this guy in New England called Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
I think that's who you need to go to.
All right. Picture this. Matt Patricia leaves on his own accord, leaves Detroit today, quits, walks out. Or let's say he loses on purpose because he wants you and you want him. Patriots way, all over. Let's do it. Make him the GM. Listen, here's the deal. He'll do the head coach job for an average head coach salary, and then you add 50% of what you would have paid the GM to his salary, he'll do both jobs for the price of 1.5. Come on now. And then Cal's like, you know, sounds 1.5 doesn't sound bad.
Sounds like a deal. Sounds like a deal to me. All right, 713-780-3776, and we'll be right back on the Blitz here on ESPN 97.5. But first, I have to tell people about Allstate.
Allstate! Allstate Windows and Siding. I'm waiting, man. I'm excited for them to come out to my house and install the new windows. They've already come out and measured. They're raring to go. They are ready. So all we got to do is find an install date and get these windows put in. I'm going to start saving 40% on my electric bill. What? And here's the deal. They're made in Texas, built for Texas tough weather. Rain, wind, hail. These are hurricane impact windows. And because they know that a lot of us have been through a lot lately, they want to keep us going. And they're extending their fall specials. 25% off window packages. Or $2,000 off complete siding jobs. Home and virtual appointments are available. They'll safely come to your home and show you the windows. Or if you don't need to put your hands on it, you can do a virtual appointment either way. They're family run for four generations, the kind of people you want to work with. For Hurricane Impact Windows, call them today. Allstate Windows and Siding, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I ask if O'Brien called your show right now, what type of discussion would you want to have? Would you blast him for being a jackass? But he would not, A, he wouldn't call our show, and B, he wouldn't answer any questions. He'd do what he did in his farewell press conference. Best interest to the team. Because I still want to know exactly how trading your best offensive weapon for magic beans is in the best interest of the team. And if you try to give me that BS about, well, he was going to want more salary, you could have made that happen. But, I won four division titles. Yeah, that's what we'd get. If you'd have an open and frank discussion, then I'd be happy to have him on. But
I don't think he would. But I do.
Of course he wouldn't.
And if he came on, if he was willing to come on with us, it's not like we would just say, "Dude, how did you not know you sucked?" Because you don't get any. That's not how you interview someone.
No,
you have to talk to people a way to get answers out of them, and it doesn't mean that you have to suddenly softball act like him. He was a some brilliant dude that did everything the right way. But, like, accosting someone is not the way to get answers out of them.
No, you'd probably start off with the moves that he made that worked. And so you did have some things go right. Like Carlos Hyde. It looks like Bradley Roby was a good pickup. Say, hey, you got a hell of a player in the Tunsil trade. And then you start talking about the other ones. There'd be ways to do it, but... I'll be honest, I'd be going into it. I don't like the guy and he's dead now. So what does it matter? So, and somebody said, I respectfully disagree that the scheme didn't look different. They used more like Watson first came in the league with motions and misdirection fakes. They did. I don't know that they did a lot more of those than they've been trying. I think the difference was tempo and I think they simplified things a little bit and he was able to get the ball out faster. Like you talked about, there were fewer deep drops where they sent everybody deep, which was one thing that was driving me nuts. And I thought they, but the plays themselves didn't look really any different. I think it's the same playbook. They just maybe did a better job in play calling for one thing. And I like them going faster. I think that works. And maybe some more outside runs. But we talked about this last week. You can't change your offense in a week. And you can't really do it over the course of the season at this point either. So it's the same plays. It's just the ones you call. And like I said, the tempo helped a lot. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. But on the whole, we'll see how this turns out. I mean, I hope that it's not just a one-hit wonder, and I think we'll learn more next week. Although, even then, if the Titans are coming off having half their roster with the COVID, if they were to win that game, would you be able to say, oh, you know what, maybe they are okay?
Yes, if the Titans beat Buffalo first. If the Titans get blown out by the Bills and then the Texans blow them out, I'm not going to take that seriously as a win. Is that not fair? Because if the Titans beat the Bills, even with all these coronavirus cases, we all agree the Bills are one of the five best teams in the league, right?
Yeah. But they're not going to win every game either. They could play a poor game and
Titans could play well. But if the Titans beat them, I you're right. They're not going to win every game. But if the Titans beat them, that means the Titans are at least a functioning NFL team. Which means if the Texans beat them, I'll give them some credit. If the Titans go out and get dog stomped by Buffalo because they're missing 10 guys, 20 guys with coronavirus, and then those same, you know, that same team shows up and the Titans beat them, I'm going to be like, well.
I think they're more likely to play well tomorrow night than they are following Sunday on a short week after missing all those practices and stuff.
No, they've had plenty of extra practice.
Not the ones they were supposed to. But, so I don't know. I mean, it's impossible for me to sit here and say that, this is going to be better all season long. I don't know if it is.
I mean, Chris Mortensen said that the NFL and the NFLPA are worried about the players' conditioning because they've been off for so long. So, I mean, they could go out with a fire against the Bills and run on pure adrenaline, and all of a sudden, a couple days later, they have to play again, and it takes a toll on their body because they've had weeks off to not get hit, not be running around.
Yeah, but we're seeing this a lot in college football. I think you're seeing teams that wind up having to be off and then they're not the same when they come back. But, we'll see, man. I mean, I don't have too much to complain about from yesterday. Although I don't think Deshaun, he didn't play badly, but two picks is too many and only getting the one sack. And really the only reason I bring that up is because both those were avoidable. And you just got to make better throws in those situations. And I'm not asking the guy to be perfect, but just trying to throw the ball up to Will Fuller in double coverage is just, I'm going to say, not smart. So, Roberts, any thoughts on the football game tonight? All I know is in our little pool with Eric, I need Saints plus, minus 7.5 to go 5-0.
I saw you're in the hunt.
Yeah. Well,
this was a horrible betting weekend for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a pretty good one.
I did not do well. I had the Falcons Panthers over, and the Falcons could never move the ball. The Panthers couldn't even really move the ball as much as I would have liked them to against that pathetic defense.
I wound up not betting the Falcons, and if I ever say I like the Falcons to cover as a favorite again, just punch me in the face.
And then I had the under in the Steelers-Eagles game, and the Eagles finally figured out how to score touchdowns for the first time. What else went wrong for me? Almost everything in college football went wrong for me. Just an overall crap weekend from a betting standpoint.
Let's see, what did I do right? I had Arizona was my big play yesterday against the Jets. And, you know, not that I like giving up 7 points with Arizona, but right. The Jets, especially with Flacco, had no prayer.
Jets 0-5 against the spread.
Yeah. So, and I had Minnesota to cover. The only one I missed was I had Jags plus 6.5. So I was 2-1 there, and then I think I was 3-1 on college football.
I chased in the Cowboys game.
2-1 on college
football. Got down to 7.5, and I'm like, man, it goes from 9.5 down to 7.5. Cowboys should at least beat them by that. And then Dak happened. Dak got a really bad cramp, according to Tony Romo,
not so good, Tony.
That ended the shot there, but
yeah. See, I had UH against Tulane Thursday night. Then I lost on Texas State, but I also had UTSA to cover against BYU.
That was my one of my. I think that was my only win on Saturday.
Yeah. But there was a lot of really interesting college football that I want to get to, not in terms of betting, but just, you know, in general.
BYU-UH is going to be a good game.
I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
UH needs to look at what UTSA did with their tight ends, and they need to figure out a way to do that. They can't be they don't want to get into just a up and down track meet. Like, you don't want to go spread against this BYU team. I'm pretty sure that's not going to work. They need to figure out a way to make this a lower scoring game. I doubt that they do, and I think it ends up being a track meet, which means it'll be close. But I think if UH changed up the way they play offense, they could beat this team.
I think they can beat this team anyway, because the one thing Dana's really good at, they run the ball a lot now. They didn't against Tulane because they were down and they had to. But you go back and look at they run the ball a lot more, and they don't play at the pace that they used to play at when Baylor Raper was here. I mean, they play at a much more reasonable pace. They speed it up when they need to. And they had to last week for a while, but they can also slow it down. And they've got a lot more depth on this team. This is not last year's UH team.
I just think if they play five guys on the offensive line, that they're going to get beat up. I think if they have tight ends, if they keep guys in, they don't just send everybody. If they're not playing five wide sets,
yeah, but they don't do a lot of that. AJ, they haven't for 2 years now.
I get it.
So,
but they did do a lot of that against Tulane.
Well, they were behind. And when you're down 24-7, you got to throw the football. So they threw the football, and they got back in the game. And then they went back to a lot of what they do after the kick return. You know, that's more what their offense usually looks like.
Yeah, I think it's a good game. It's a good matchup.
I think it's a big chance for BYU to...
Oh, BYU needs it.
You know, if we're going to talk about the New Year's Six bid, I think they're very much in that mix.
If they win this, they're almost walking to it.
Yeah.
Because this is the last real bump in their road.
Well, they still have Boise. I don't know what Boise's going to be.
Okay.
But
yeah, you're right.
That's which the funny part is they didn't have Boise until a week ago.
Yeah.
So I was saying last week, the only team they,
but there may be, I mean, if they win this, that for it firms them up that really there's one game left for them to get there, because none of the games on their schedule.
I guess they have San Diego State too, but
they're not going to lose to San Diego State.
I wouldn't think.
There's no way.
Yeah.
This ain't 2 years ago. This ain't Rocky Long San Diego.
No, State. But. I do think the other advantage BYU has is they've got some games under their belt now. Granted, not against very good competition, but you know they've had what, four games?
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, you want an advantage when it comes to shaving? Harry's razors. They've got new blades. They're sharper blades, and they're still just $2. It's that simple. And other razor companies have increased their prices when they introduce something new. Harry's delivers their sharpest shave ever, and they aren't raising prices. You can find the new sharper blades in big box, drug, and grocery stores near you. If you like to shop online, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. And they've got 100% quality guarantee. So guess what? If you don't like it, you get the $3 back. But you're going to love it. Trust me. You can get Harry's sharpest blades wherever you shop. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer just for the Blitzers. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for just $3 with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try. harrys.com, code KFNC. But told me don't take my foot off the gas. They give you an inch, gonna take you a mile. I'ma shoot by myself like a technical foul. City to city, got girls going. ESPN 97.5.